Tuesday, June 26th, 2018 A.D. That's A.D., like the first two letters of Adam. I guess we could also designate it that way. It's a few minutes after 10 in the a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and that could only mean one thing. It is time for Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, joined by our official WWGH presidentologist and historical expert person, Dr. Ron Feynman. Ron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Adam. How are you doing?
Well, mainly magnificent, for the most
part. Good,
good. You know, yesterday was the halfway point to Christmas. Time flies, doesn't
it? That's correct. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I imagine in a few weeks, the local Walmart will be having Christmas trees on display. Not that I'll be purchasing one, but I do remember when I was at Sam's Club last year, it was late August, and they had Christmas paraphernalia on the sales floor. Walk in.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible some stores might call it holiday trees, don't
yes,
you think?
God forbid we offend somebody and say the word Christmas, even though neither you nor I celebrate Christmas. It doesn't offend me. That's the name of the holiday. Calling it a holiday tree, in my opinion, is stupid. It's not a holiday tree. It's a Christmas tree.
Yes.
And I called Scott's show yesterday and talked a little about political correctness, and a lot of it, most of it's really just totally ridiculous. And so, I guess, picayune, if that's a word. And some of it is downright offensive to me. And it came up where somebody called one of our fellow managers, Terry. And Terry is a large man. I mean, yes, but it was a 9-year-old kid that called him fat, which is very rude.
Oh, my
gosh. Learn to respect people.
That's
and I called and we talked about it. And, you know, kids do get their manners from their parents. And I'm sure when that kid's parents were the kid's age, they may very well have called larger people the F word, and that's not nice. You should learn to respect people and giggle about it if you want to on your own, but don't call that person out in public.
Yeah. And, well, may I also say, beyond the father, I think our president sets a bad example in how he treats people and what he calls them. So I think that's not a good role model either, not just the father,
but
our president.
You've talked about, it seems like we've moved backwards maybe as many as 50 or 60 years. And equal rights, civil rights, and respecting your fellow Homo sapiens. And I'm not sure it's all part of the same picture. It's a complicated situation. A person could get a PhD in this and related topics. But that's what we're here for, to talk about current issues and not afraid to stir up a little bit of controversy. And that's part of the fun of radio. We don't have to agree. Last week, the professor and I talked about immigration. My opinions are to the right of the professor's, although we do agree on some things. We don't agree on everything, and we can still agree to shake hands and be friends and understand. If
Absolutely,
everybody had
yes.
the same opinion, the world would be awfully boring, wouldn't it?
That's true. That's true. And certainly in this world today, people have very varying opinions more than ever, but it is good as long as it's civil. You're right.
Getting excited that the Mr. Rogers movie is coming to Mid and Central Ohio on Friday. It's been out this month, but it does start in different cities at different times. So with our station's multiple connections to Mr. Rogers, I'm definitely looking forward to viewing that film. So it should be a happy week as June winds down. Of course, June begins with my birthday. And Ron, my parents were actually married on June 30th. Of course, that was in 1962.
Oh, I see.
And they got divorced and my mother is deceased, but kind of an interesting month. And another interesting thing about, you know, I like statistics, I like geography and navigating and demographics and numbers and number statistics. My parents' divorce was final on 7/7/77. So they were married exactly 15 years and 1 week. Isn't that an interesting tidbit?
Yes, it is. But you're a very intellectual guy anyway, Adam. I know that.
Well, we certainly aim to please. So now that we've gotten the formalities out, Dr. Feynman, of course.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one thing about Mr. Rogers. The fact about Mr. Rogers, his promotion of kindness and consideration. Could we use a Mr. Rogers in the White House right now if we could only find one? You know, someone of his decency. But, of course, we don't have it. But I wish we could.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers is turning over at his grave right now when he picks up the news. You know, he was a Republican also, and I get the feeling with the current administration, he might end up being, like myself, an independent. I just don't see him being a Trump supporter.
Like, and Steve Schmidt and like George Will have just announced, yeah. Yes.
I thought, you know, yeah. George Will is kind of like, he's the conservative, he's a conservative force, and suddenly he's no longer a Republican. And that kind of reminds me of John Kasich, our governor, a Republican, well, not a super conservative one. I mean, he used to be more conservative, but he's a little middle of the road at this point, if not a tiny bit to the left in some issues. He didn't go to the Republican convention in Cleveland, just up the road from...
That was ironic that he did.
Yeah, where he lives, yes. So...
He's been on the news a lot lately being interviewed, and I think he's going to announce for president after he leaves the governorship in December. I really think it's a very likely thing he'll be a challenger.
We're seeing some changes in people's allegiances and whom they support, whom they don't support, and that's probably why every time we do this show, we hit the 45-minute mark, and we have to bid a fair adieu because it seems like we barely scratched the surface of our topics, but that makes for interesting radio for sure. Do want to talk, Ron, about the telecom mergers. We touched on that a bit during the last show. But first, let's dive right into one of the controversial topics du jour. And of course, there's so many, you might wonder, well, which one is that I'm going to bring
yes.
up today? Well, let's talk about Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the fact that she was not welcome at the Red Hen restaurant. Now, people are saying...
In Virginia, not the one in D.C. and not the one in New Jersey. I heard this yesterday about the three Red Hens, not related, and they're all getting a lot of, you know, a lot of criticism from Trump supporters. But it's only this one place, which is not related to the one in New Jersey or Washington, D.C.
We've talked about businesses having a right to deny service to people. And the reason why they might deny service, are there reasons that are valid, reasons that are not valid? We're familiar with the infamous cake debacle. And as we see it, certainly not wanting to bake a cake for a couple because they're both the same sex is not a cool thing to do. But does a business have a right to refuse service or to say, well, we don't like male and male couples, and therefore we're not going to bake you a cake. Take your business elsewhere. So now we turn the tide a bit and say the restaurant says Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you work for Donald Trump. We don't like Donald Trump, so get out of our restaurant. And
that also happened with Kirstjen Nielsen, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and also with you know, also with others around Trump.
So, what is the precedent, Ron? Where do we say a private company can say, you know, every bar says we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. That generally means if you're drunk, because in many areas you can be liable if the person drinks and drives. Plus, you really don't want an obnoxious drunk. Many people are violent when they drink. But that is different. Now, we have a cake that is a special order. The business is losing money by saying, we don't like gay people. That's against our religion. Whatever the reason is, we're not going to bake you a cake. So now a restaurant loses money by not allowing Sarah Huckabee Sanders to dine there. Now, again, in all cases, that is very uncool. But should it be illegal? Is it illegal? And what precedent are we setting? What'll be next? Are we going back to where restaurants can say, we don't serve black people, we don't serve Jewish people, we don't serve ugly people, whatever they want to discriminate against? And is it religion or is it some other reason? Do we draw the line? Do we say that every business must accept all customers, regardless of whether or not you like their religion or sexual orientation or anything else? Or do we say you have a right to refuse service to anybody for any reason? Or is it not quite that simple? Do you have any guidelines, Ron, that we should follow? And do you see this situation a bit like immigration is getting one that's going to get more complex and more controversial over the next few months?
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court has apparently said that that particular bakery does not have to serve that gay couple. I think that's wrong on the part of the court, and it worries me that the Supreme Court's turning so far to the right. But the thing is, I think we're going to soon have cases saying they don't want to serve people who are Jewish or black or Latino, and I just don't think that should be a reason not to serve someone. But apparently, that's the way we're going. So in that sense, although I don't like it, if they're going to say that, then I guess although I don't really approve of it, politics should be a reason to say if it's a public figure that's controversial, like Stephen Miller, let's say, or like Kirstjen Nielsen, or like or Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that you don't want to serve them. I don't like the idea, but if they're going to have other restrictions, then I think that a restaurant has a right to say that as well, but I don't approve of it in general.
Now, a restaurant is private property, but so is Walmart. Now, can... And I'm not saying Walmart does this or will do it, so we'll just take any department store where you walk in. And then somebody says, well, black people, Jewish people, gay people, etc., aren't allowed to shop here. And what about that? Is that something that would cause even more controversy? Or is it a case where something is special ordered, as I talked about before, like a cake, and if the bakery doesn't, for some reason, quote, like the people ordering the cake, they're not going to do as good of a job as if they did, quote, like the people. Versus a restaurant, where just like a bar can say, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. I mean, I see there is a bit of a difference. A bakery, while although it's uncool, has a right to say, well, we don't want to bake you a cake. And I would say, well, if you don't like me for some reason, whatever the reason is, you're not going to do a good job anyway. I'll take my business and my money elsewhere.
Yes.
But then we have the restaurant. And there could even be a case of, you know, the restrooms. And they can make up a reason and say, well, you only can use the restroom if you're a paying customer. But then that person could observe, well, a person of a different demographic was allowed to use a restroom and not be a paying customer. And there are so many differences, so many different scenarios.
The transgender issue. That's a big one, you know.
That's another biggie, and certainly a favorite of our Vice President, Mike Pence. So, yes. And that's where a lot of the controversy from him, even though he's a governor of a neighboring state to Ohio, a lot of people hadn't heard of him. But the minute that came up, he became one of the hottest topics and still is. And then now that he's Vice President, it's only getting hotter and certainly more interesting. But would you agree at least?
Yeah, Pence promoted conversion therapy people who are gay not to be gay, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of conversion therapy. You're born a certain way, and I don't think anybody should be converted to something he or she isn't predisposed to be. And we'll just leave it at that.
I agree.
Again, I'm not an expert on that stuff, but I do find that to be preposterous. Don't need a PhD in psychology to understand that one.
Yes.
But anyway, Ron, as we talked about, is there a difference between – let's look at these three scenarios. The bakery, a private business doing a special order, saying for whatever the reason is, we don't like your kind of people, therefore we're not going to bake a cake. Take your business and your money elsewhere. You know, baking cakes is a profitable business. They're losing money by not baking the cake, but – that's their prerogative. The second scenario is the restaurant saying, we don't like people who work for Donald Trump, therefore, go eat elsewhere. And then the third case is a department store where anybody, even though it's private property, people walk in to buy something, not a special order item, nothing that's being served by a waitress or waiter. You go in, you buy a pair of socks or you buy a gallon of milk, you pay, and you walk out. But and the business saying, well, we don't want people of a certain demographic to shop at our store. Do you see those as being somewhat different circumstances? And what kind of laws do we need to have to make sure that people are not discriminated against, but businesses still have a right to refuse service to certain kinds of people?
I would say that if you go by the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that no business is private if it deals with the public. And therefore, in theory, no bakery should be able to deny service, no restaurant, and no Walmart or other department store. Unfortunately, though, however, the Supreme Court has changed that on the issue of the bakery and a gay couple, and that opens up a Pandora's box of what people can say that, well, if that's the case, then we could decide not to serve Donald Trump's people, or that we cannot serve someone who's black or Jewish or transgender or whatever. But I think we should go by the Civil Rights Act and say a business is dealing with the public. They must serve all people who come in, as long as they're not disruptive, like somebody who's drunk, somebody like that. But otherwise, I think that's what the Civil Rights Act was meant to be, 1964, but it's being abrogated. It's being cut back on.
So you would reiterate that the bakery should be required to bake the cake, but in all honesty, if they don't, quote, like the people ordering the cake, they're not probably going to do a very good job. And it probably isn't the best interest of the cake orderer,
true,
who's at a once-in-a-lifetime event, a wedding, to take his or her
That's
business
true.
Somewhere that would be more appreciated.
Well, I would also say, though, that if they, you know, I think they should be. I know it seems unfair to some people. I think they should be required to do it. And if they don't do it appropriately, they can be sued for not having done it properly. They have to do professional work, no matter who the person is, just as much as anybody of any other background has to be treated with dignity. And I think that's what should be required. But unfortunately, that's not the direction we're going in now in the 2010s.
Something else that's come up, again, there are so many scenarios, and this one occurred to me. There are grocery stores that'll say, there's a Muslim cashier working, and the Muslim cannot handle pork. Therefore, if you're checking out and purchasing pork, you would need to go to a different register. Is that fair to the customer? And should the employee be required to handle foods, even if he or she has a religious objection?
I think that's different. I think that a particular employee should not be required to do something against his religious beliefs as an employee, but an employer, meaning a business, should not be able to do the same thing. Employees are subject to the fact that they're working for someone else, but when you own, I think you have a responsibility to the public.
Okay. So we agree there are similarities in these scenarios, but they are different.
Yes, and it's just like saying someone who I guess is Orthodox Jewish should not have to handle, dairy with meat at a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing we probably do agree on is, okay, the bakery has to bake the cake, but in all honesty, they're not going to do the quality of the work that they would do for a couple whose
That's
beliefs
true.
Would be consistent
yeah.
with theirs. And it really would be in the best, and I like saying that word orderer, because it's impossible to say that word. So the person ordering the cake probably would be in his or her best interest to take his or her business elsewhere. I think everybody agrees we like to do business with companies that have a belief system that's consistent with ours. There certainly are companies that are friendly to certain types of people and companies that might not be friendly to certain types of people. And we like to think anywhere is going to welcome us. But in all reality, human beings have opinions and we have our philosophies and obviously religion. And not everything always meshes like we want it to.
That's true. Now, think about it. If we didn't have religion and politics, what would there be to discuss?
Yeah, this show would probably be, we'd be talking baseball or something. Not well, of course, baseball is controversial
which,
in some way.
Which pitcher or team is better. That's it about
yeah.
Religion and politics, they always say when you get married, there's somebody you have to always avoid religion. I'm talking with in-laws. Avoid religion and politics, they always say, unless you know for sure they agree with you, because that can really divide a family. Those two issues do.
They are touchy topics, but I do see a bit of a distinction between the special ordering of an item and somebody walking into a business. They're both private property, but I don't think any business no business has a right to say, well, we can't let you purchase a pair of shoes or a gallon of milk because we don't like your demographic. But the special ordering of the cake, I think, is a little bit different. And again, the practical thing that cake baking is an art, and I don't think that any art, and a cake decorator is an artist. I mean, goodness sakes, I'm way too spastic to bake a cake, let alone decorate one. And I admire cake bakers. It's not an easy job. Anyway, we all know.
What I would say, though, is I would give the people who would be denied the service the right to picket and march and demonstrate in front of that particular bakery shop in order to point out their discrimination.
Correct.
What do you feel about that? I'm curious.
Nonviolent demonstrations are part of what makes the company great, and I certainly agree. Now, granted, that's likely to give the bakery a lot of publicity and a lot of free advertising, as the bakery's beliefs are likely to be consistent with many people's. But I guess that's part
of negative and positive publicity we get. Yes, we have people to support them and those to oppose them. That's true.
I mean, the red hen, goodness sakes, is probably people standing out the door waiting 3 hours for service right now because of this incident. Maybe even people that don't even agree with them, the publicity that they've gotten. I mean, now
we're... Yes, I noticed that Donald Trump said that the Red Hen restaurant was unsanitary. That's pure BS. It's perfectly fine. It's had a good record as far as health inspections. And meanwhile, Mar-a-Lago has had all kinds of health issues as far as, you know, they've been cited in the last couple of years. So of all things, who is talking about citing a place for having bad sanitary conditions when his own place has bad sanitary conditions?
Right. Well, it's a tangled web we weave, isn't it? And that's why we have this show. So anyway, Dr. Ron Fineman, he is an expert on contemporary American history, especially presidents, vice presidents, first ladies, and all that good stuff. And we like to talk about different topics. So the more sensitive, more controversial topics, immigration, of course, cakes and restaurants and that kind of stuff. And sometimes we like to talk about historical statistics and presidential history and who's running for president, who's not running for president. If you go to Dr. Fineman's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, you can not only see archives of the 1,001 shows that he's not done on this station and others, but also his daily editorials, his blogs. And again, some are trivia related, like presidential history, and some are more controversial and sensitive, like the current state of the Trump administration, immigration, cakes, and that kind of stuff.
I bring up here two things. I wanted to bring up, first of all, this is the 60th time I've been on WWGH, 49 times with you and 11 with, indeed with Scott Spears. And except for the first time in February of last year, they've all been since June 28th, so we're coming up, if you take away the first one, to the anniversary of 59 of the 60 shows.
How about that?
The other thing, I wanted to know your opinion of that first lady you adore with her coat that she wore when she went down to Texas, meaning Melania Trump. I haven't had a chance to ask how you feel about what she wore with the words on the back.
Yeah, I thought it was amusing. I wasn't quite sure how to take it. It almost reminds me of those license plates in Washington, D.C. that say, taxation without representation. It's like they're poking fun at the government and kind of look like that's what Melania does, or maybe we can just call her Melanie because that's what Donald calls her that one time. I never really understood the license plates, Ron, in D.C. that say taxation without representation, that people are driving around in that essentially it is taxation without representation, and that's what it says in their license plate. I never quite...
Well, what they mean is that D.C. doesn't have statehood. There was a statehood amendment, but it failed to be ratified, that D.C. has 700,000 people the same size as one of two states, and that it should be a state, not just a federal district. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And have two senators and a House member, and they
don't. It used to say a capital city, which was a little less controversial. But again, as we said, the controversy is what makes the world go round. And there's no secret that Melania and Donald don't always see eye to eye. And I don't think their marriage is quite as spiffy as, for example, Betty Ford and Gerald Ford, who on many issues, abortion, for example, did not see eye to eye, but they still loved each other. And...
Well, Betty Ford is special, as I've always told you. She's very special.
Yeah, again, reading more about her, she was quite feisty, and she did speak her mind. And, you know, I always liked her, but I wasn't that old enough, I think, when she was First Lady to delineate everything and follow everything. And looking in retrospect, she's quite a great historical figure. And I do mention about, you know, she was very public about being an alcoholic, about having issues with recreational substances, and I think she's done so much and will continue to, and hope she's in heaven smiling, knowing that she's made a big mark on the world, and I think that'll continue to be.
I don't think she'd be very happy with Donald Trump, I can say that, same as Barbara Bush, may she rest in peace.
Yeah, I don't think either of them would definitely be.
And even Nancy Reagan hinted that she was not very happy before she passed away, you know. So it's not just, you know, those two. I think it's anybody who has any decency would see the kind of way that Trump has conducted himself, his personal behavior and his rhetoric is just outrageous.
Yeah, well, he's something else, isn't he? Talking about presidential families, you wrote in your blog, Ron, from Wednesday of last week, there's never been a family quite like the Trumps in the White House. The Trump children are as unethical and crooked as their father, with the exception, of course, of Barron Trump. We're not referring to him.
Well,
we're referring
course,
to the adult children. Well, Ivanka Trump, she's something else. And we have Junior, Eric, and the son-in-law, Jared Kushner. They don't care about the, that's called the emollient. I thought it said emollients when I first saw that, like a skin emollient, but it's emoluments clause of the Constitution.
Emolument, yes. Yeah.
Continue to make money in an illegal and unconstitutional manner. They brag about their hunting exploits in Africa. Ivanka Trump keeps on working at getting patents and trademarks in China, making her millions on cheap labor in China and other Asian nations. Jared Kushner owns real estate and isn't the nicest landlord in the world.
No.
And you're hoping
neither was Donald Trump himself and his father. You know, years ago, right, in Queens County, New York, they were horrible and they got sued for it, you know, for racial discrimination in the 1970s.
And you're hoping that karma will bite them, as my mom would say, where the sun don't shine.
That word karma I've been using a lot lately, yes.
Now, we've talked about this before, Ron, about Donald Sr. pardoning himself, which I guess he can't do, even though he thinks he can. Do you see him pardoning all those people? Maybe even after sometime down the road? Or
you mean his family?
Yeah, because you mentioned multiple family members, and they are doing...
Yeah, well, Bill Clinton did pardon his half-brother, Roger, for drug offenses. Of course, nothing on the same level, but there were people who thought, as he left office, that was the wrong thing to do. I would tend to agree. I don't think it's appropriate to pardon your own relatives, but he did, so he set an example, and pardons have never been attacked in the sense that we can reverse them, so I can imagine he might do that, yes.
You never quite know. Of course, with the Donald, just when you think you've figured something out, a curve is thrown.
Well, look, he's now saying that we shouldn't have any courts or judges, just kick people out. And yet that cannot be done because of the rule of law and because of checks and balances and because of the whole system we have. He can't do that. But he's saying it on Twitter. And Twitter, I wish there was a way to prevent him from being on Twitter. It would make life a lot easier if he couldn't, although he could always hold more press conferences. But he really abuses Twitter, I think, in a way that's destructive to the whole world.
And he also should learn how to spell. We've talked about this before. I think he spelled separate.
Yes.
Of course, a lot of people spell separate wrong, but the president really should learn how to spell that word, and I think he spelled it S-A-P-E-R.
Yes. He should double-check before he hits. You know, you can. You know, I make mistakes, but and of course, I'm not somebody significant. But, I mean, in most cases, I try to notice it before I send it. But if you're somebody famous, you've got to be more aware of what you're sending.
Now, again, he's something else, isn't he?
That's a good description. Something else, in quotes, yes.
Of course, on a lighter but still important topic, we often like to discuss future elections, past elections, and statistics and all that good stuff. You wrote in your blog on the 24th, which was last Sunday, the halfway point to Christmas Eve, the upcoming midterm elections of 2018 may bring on the political scene some new Democrats who could become major players in the future of the party. We've talked about a local guy, former Jeopardy champion. I'll take political candidates 4,000, Alex. And, of course, that's Rich Cordray running for governor. And I think he may become the next governor, and I'm voting for him.
So
no complaints or disagreements there. But let's turn to your home state, Ron, the Sunshine State of Florida. Philip Levine, from former Miami Beach mayor, he is a front runner for the Democratic nomination, and he's also of the Jewish religion. And so you think he may become the next governor of Florida?
It's going to be a tight race against Adam Putnam, the likely Republican nominee. But the polls, of course, polls could be wrong, and of course, there could be collusion by the Russians and others. We never could be sure, and so it's all over. But it looks like he's ahead in the race for the nomination over his other Democratic rivals, and that he's ahead at the moment, you know, against Adam Putnam. But this is a Republican state, except for South Florida, so it still is probably not going to be that easy. Now, the question came up, people have asked me, he's Jewish, would that be against him? Not in South Florida, maybe not in Central Florida, but probably in North Florida, it might be an issue. But we have had Jewish senators before. People don't realize we had Richard Stone in the 1970s was Jewish, and he was a U.S. senator. And we also had a senator in the 1850s who was Jewish. But other than that, it's true that it's hard to imagine a Jew winning statewide office except for those two cases. But I think he has a good possibility of doing so. A lot depends, again, on the turnout in Central and South Florida to overcome North Florida.
Right. There's a definite difference, whereas Northern Florida is more like called the Deep South, Alabama or Mississippi, and Southern Florida is quite different.
South Florida is like New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Central Florida is like Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, and Cleveland.
just a lot warmer than Chicago or Minneapolis.
Yes.
We talked about Stacey Abrams before, the first black female nominated for governor in American history, nominated by the Democrats. Of course, we recall from back in the 70s, a not too well-known Georgia governor becoming president, and also the first president.
With a nickname, Jimmy. And I remember saying, Jimmy?
Right, from the
Jimmy?
First.
It's James, but he always liked to know it was Jimmy.
Right. The first president at that time from the Deep South in quite a while, and then Bill Clinton, also
Zachary
in recent
Taylor,
history from the Deep South.
Yeah.
Never quite know, but I think the general consensus is that a front runner to be the first female president is Nikki Haley. That's something that's sort of agreed upon, that we think Hillary is probably not going to run for president again, but who knows? Although Stacey Abrams is a possible presidential candidate down the road, Nikki Haley, I think, does have designs on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah. Well, since you brought up Nikki Haley, I don't know whether you've noticed lately on Facebook, I've been critical of her.
Oh, very much so.
I mean, about poverty and about why should the UN be investigating poverty in America. I think she's starting to put her foot in her mouth, and I think she's making blunders, and I think it's a mistake. And backing out of the UN Human Rights Commission, which, of course, she cannot control, but she made a statement about it. I think she's starting to harm herself as far as a future presidential candidacy. Disillusioned with her.
I mean, she's very sharp, though. You know, like I said, she's not bad looking by any means.
No, I agree on that. Nobody's debating that, yeah.
But I'm
not quite as excited about it. I think, honestly, when you look at the people around Trump now, there's only one person I think that's left that I really could say I fully respect, and that's the Defense Secretary, James Mattis, who apparently, from what we're hearing in the last few days, is being ignored by Trump as he pays more attention to Mike Pompeo. And indeed to John Bolton. So he's there, but he's not really being he's not in the loop, apparently, James Mattis. I wonder if he's going to resign at some point. He's the only one that has not made, a blunder yet around Trump. And I wonder how long he's going to last.
But we do agree that Nikki Haley does have to bow down to her boss. And
yes, true. That's true. And
point.
I still remember what she did as South Carolina governor after that massacre at the church. She did the right thing about the Confederate flag, I think. So I do give the credit
right.
for that.
I don't see her beliefs in her heart really being overly consistent with what she's doing outwardly, as I think a lot of it is, I hate to say it, being a puppet for Trump. And I think she's smart enough to know what she can get away with, so to speak. That's the real Nikki versus what she has to do because her boss is mandating it. And it's difficult. Working for Trump is not a picnic.
No, it is not. Even Mattis, I'm thinking right now, is very disillusioned. They all are because he's an impossible boss. He really is.
Now, speaking of Chicago, let's get to Illinois. Of course, that's not the capital of Illinois, but Chicago is the biggest city in the state, two states west of Ohio. As I was sort of joking about when we were talking on Facebook a few days ago, Ron, hasn't like every Illinois governor in the last 20 years gone to jail? Now we have J.B. Pritzker, venture capitalist and part of the family that owns the Hyatt Hotel chain. He's also Jewish. Democratic nominee for Illinois governor. Would you want to be Illinois governor when it seems like all the governors, for some reason, end up in the slammer?
Well, because I'm assuming that he's maybe I shouldn't, though, that he's too wealthy to be crooked. I mean, compared to Rod Blagojevich, I think it could be, although I look at Trump, he's wealthy, or at least supposedly is, and yet he's crooked. But I like to think that the wealthiest people are less likely to be crooked because they're not so centered on only money. But maybe I'm wrong in saying that, actually.
Yeah, I guess we shall find out. Maybe he can break the streak. I'll talk briefly before we get to the other topic about the telecom mergers that we touched on a bit last week. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85 years old, and still, for the most part, going strong. So we want to wish her a happy anniversary on the Supreme Court, as well as a happy 85th birthday, and certainly American hero. We admire her.
She's a rock star, as they say, the notorious RBG.
You wrote, Ron, that Ginsburg has said she plans to stay to the age of 90, the age that former Justice John Paul Stevens, now 98 and thriving, was when he left the court in 2010. So again, lover or hater.
Stevens still plays tennis every day. Can you believe this?
that's very, well, you know, exercising is a good thing.
But 98 is amazing.
Yeah,
is the oldest
agree with her. Don't agree with
no
her.
No justice ever lived to 98.
Yeah, Justice Ginsburg, she's a trooper, and we admire that. And we need people that enjoy their job and have a commitment to what they do. So,
and she's had colon and pancreatic cancer and overcome it, which is amazing, too.
We've been talking about the telecom mergers and other things where these telecom companies are getting away with things they shouldn't be getting away with. Of course, net neutrality, but now we get to the telecom mergers. I have a Sprint smartphone. Well, it isn't always that smart, but sometimes it is. And we're talking about Sprint merging with T-Mobile and Spectrum, which is already a conglomeration of multiple companies, merging with AT&T. And I don't see how the government doesn't see that that is a bad idea, that that is a tremendous antitrust violation. And you talked about the Telecom Act with President Clinton and the breakup of the phone company. The whole thing has just backfired. And again, AT&T has gotten bigger and bigger. And if they're now the same company as Time Warner, and what's now Spectrum, they would be, as Donald Trump would say, huge. And with less competition, we've seen customer service and go down the toilet. And, of course, pricing becoming less friendly to the consumer, and also a bigger lobbying force in trying to make sure that net neutrality never comes back. And I think that if there is a merger, it will be a very bad thing. And so this is one thing, Ron.
We don't learn from history. We've gone through this whole thing before with mergers and trying to break it up, and now we're back to mergers again. It's like we never really learned any lessons, it seems, as a nation. We keep on repeating the same mistakes.
I mean, this topic, although very important, I guess maybe isn't quite as interesting as Ron and I are in 100% agreement of it. There's nothing really to debate other than to say, well, you're preaching to the choir. This is preposterous and never should happen.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And I take a look at a Chase Bank. And here in Ohio, Bank One, which was one of many banks that's now Chase, had a tremendous presence in Columbus. Now, somewhat ironically, Chase has more employees, more office space in Columbus and the suburbs than they did when they were just Bank One. But Chase is Chemical Bank, manufacturers Hanover, First National Bank of Chicago, the aforementioned Bank One, and so many banks be an hour before I finished listing them. And again, there are other banks that are in competition. I mean, Capital One is a tremendous credit card issuer, for example. So not a perfect analogy, but I think that Chase has become too big, has too much of a monopoly.
I agree with you. Same with Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo's right. Also had a lot of issues, and I think they get away with murder too much, these banks.
And
I think
having
the Republican Party in Congress kisses their, well, I won't say what, but you figure it out.
having telecom companies become huge conglomerates, I think we really should learn a lesson from other industries. I mean, again, there are differences between banking and telecom for sure. But I think part of our premise in America is that there needs to be competition. And we've already seen so many community banks get swallowed. And telecom companies, where AT&T, again, as we've talked about, is now a bigger company than they were after the breakup of AT&T back in the early 80s. The whole thing has backfired. No, again, they didn't have – well, the internet was around in the early 80s, but not in the form that it is now. So for essentially there was no internet, so to speak.
You're right.
Then, 35 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say that we're on the way to another great recession / great depression, because on the average we have one every 10 years, and the economy has been improving for almost 10 years now. And so we're on the way downhill again, and yet somehow we don't seem to have the people in government understanding that, and we're moving in the wrong direction, and it's going to suddenly really hurt a lot of people, with a lot of businesses going bankrupt, and just a lot of jobs being lost, as with the tariff issue now, you're starting to see that it's going to start affecting many, many companies that are going to go overseas to produce, and also it's just going to make food prices and everything else much higher.
Ron, do you see the telecom mergers as contributing to a declining economy? Do you think if we had more competition, less merger fever, that would help the economy?
Absolutely. And also the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that Elizabeth Warren promoted and Richard Cordray ran until he left. And now it's being destroyed. You know, it's the whole purpose is to get rid of consumer protection. It's a disaster. And I don't know how people who are Trumpites can just sit back and not care about it. They have their head in the sand. They're like ostriches. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a touchy situation. And I think it's pretty clear to the listener that Adam is not in favor of this stuff, and Adam puts a high value on net neutrality. It's going to be a gradual process. No, my ISP is not charging me $10 a month extra to use Facebook today, but they might sometime in the future because they're allowed to. Or maybe I'm over-dramatizing. I hope that I'm wrong. Believe me, I hope that I'm wrong and that the ISPs can govern themselves and don't need net neutrality. But from a practical standpoint, I'm living a pipe dream if that's what I think is going
to
happen.
I hope you're wrong, but I think you're correct that we're going to be, penalized and going to be paying more for everything.
Yeah. Having more mergers is going to make it worse. But we shall see. So just a few minutes left on a fine mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor on the Talking Place WWGH Radio. Any more thoughts on immigration since our sometimes heated discussion last week? Anything else that you want to add?
I wouldn't go exactly heated, just disagreeing. I'm just very concerned that we have no information about the girls or the infants much at all. Although I heard yesterday, apparently one nine-month-old infant was taken by bus from Texas to New York. This is crazy. And they don't know where his mother is, and he's a nine-month-old. And that's just one example, but there's so much evidence of, I think it's almost child abuse the way this is being dealt with the separation of children. You know, although now he's backing off on it, Trump. But I don't, you know, the point is, even backing off, you cannot put both children and mothers or fathers in detention for more than 20 days under a Supreme Court decision. So what's going to happen on July 10th when 20 days have been reached? It's going to be a crisis again. I can see it coming. And I don't know what the answer is, but he has really gone beyond the pale. I think he's starting to make more people really disgusted with him. But again, the problem is the Republicans, they love him, 90% of them apparently, still unwilling to back away from him. So I don't know what's going to change. Although a few governors are speaking up, the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, and even Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas was not happy about it. I heard it a couple of days ago. So the governors are speaking up, but as far as the Senate and the House, nobody except the people who are not running again. So that means only people like Bob Corker and Jeff Flake are speaking up, but everybody else is more concerned about their job than they are about the future of the country and what's happening to these kids.
Right, and kind of like Nikki Haley, where she likes her job, and she knows it's a possible stepping stone to president or vice president, and she has to tread lightly if she does say something critical about the Donald, because unlike Vice President Pence, he can fire her. And at this point, I don't think her job is in jeopardy, but we shall see. So I do admire her.
One thing
her.
I will say, yeah. If Mike Pence becomes president at some point, I think he will likely pick Nikki Haley as his vice president under the 25th Amendment. That's my major thought, that's the first choice he would have.
Yeah, it would be an interesting ticket. She doesn't share the religious conservatism that Mike Pence does. And that'll make for some interesting campaigning. And people like myself that would say, well, I wish Nikki Haley were president instead, as I agree enough of what she has to say. Plus, I admire the cool factor. I think she could be a good first woman president. She certainly is.
Yeah, I must tell you that actually, and when I look back at my own story politically, I got to admit that in 76, when it was Carter and Mondale, I was actually hoping Mondale would be the candidate for president. I thought he was better. I also thought Bush 1 would have been better than Reagan in 80 when they were running together. I also thought that Al Gore would have been better than Bill Clinton in 92. I often thought, why can't it be switched in the ticket? But it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Right. That's politics. And that's what makes this show so interesting. And yes. Why it always seems like time flies, because we're at the...
We always have a good time.
Yeah, at the 45-minute mark. And it is time to bid a fair adieu. Dr. Ron Feinman, thank you so much again for being on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor.
Thank you
Another
so much.
Stimulating discussion. We discussed presidents and the midterm elections. We discussed cakes and restaurants and businesses being allowed to or not allowed to decide which people are welcome in said establishments, and of course touched on the sensitive and important topic of immigration. Thanks again, Ron, for being with us.
Sure.
Have a great rest
Have
of your day.
Day.
Thanks for being on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.